This is Android Buffet, episode number 140, recorded March 24th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Or not.
Yep, I didn't hear any music.
I'm working on it.
No music for me.
Shame.
I'm sad.
It doesn't like doing that. Don't worry, I have a plan C, D, and E. There's going to be music. One way or another, I shall make music happen. I promise, there shall be music. You believe me, don't you, Jerry?
You know, there hasn't been music in months. So just because I'm... Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, there will now be music. Better? Okay, welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo!
Unfortunately, despite the fact I tested all this equipment before I packed it up, there appear to be technical difficulties.
Aren't there always?
I should have brought the big mixer. I brought the little mixer. I'm sorry. I apologize for only bringing a little mixer instead of a big mixer. But I'll keep working on it.
It's a big show. We need a big mixer.
Yes, and apparently, despite the fact that the Pi worked perfectly on Friday at home when I tested it, I'm getting buffer overruns again. I thought I finally fixed that. I don't know what it is. The only difference is I'm using a different USB charger to power the Pi. Maybe that's it. Maybe the Pi doesn't have enough power. Maybe it's underpowered.
I think it's underpowered processor-wise.
No. That's what I was trying to tell you. The Pi is definitely not a... Now, we look at that. That did work. It was underpowered. It was a dual charger. And the Pi was plugged in with the Droid 2. I just unplugged the Droid 2 and put it on battery power, and the buffer overrun stopped. So it was underpowered.
God. Well, no. Literally, not metaphorically.
Well, no, the Pi needs a certain amperage. I'm guessing that the...
Yes,
the
dual, power.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the two, it couldn't charge both of them at once. So from now on, the Pi needs its own dedicated charger. Okay. Yep. So is anybody actually on this? Listen, I wonder...
I am. Just quit.
No, I'm meaning you don't count. You're staff. I'm
talking. Staff.
Well, yeah, I'm talking. Yes. You're in the show, so you don't need to be part of the show. So it says that we have zero listeners.
It is 8 o'clock on a Sunday.
Okay, well, I'd hope we have some. Anyway, so then they'll hear the recorded version, which will be much better quality. So to anybody who's not enjoying the quality, I apologize. We'll do better. We do have a special from last week. A special audio from somebody who wanted to say hello. Jerry, tell me if you have any trouble hearing this.
Sorry, I did it. I'm in the message. It's kind of late Monday. I was on the bus all day. Saw Guru up in Elf. Didn't know Guru till later, which I think was actually hilarious. Everybody up there was extremely nice. Had lots of fun. And I literally didn't... The only time I slowed down was when I laid down at the end of the night to take a nap. Super fun, non-stop, all set weekend. Looking forward to the next one already. Jerry, hope your fight is still doing a good fight, I'll say. Thanks for the show, guys. Thanks for being patient with my voicemail. And I will say, you guys have really enlightened me on more than one occasion. Nearly every show, you guys talk about an app or a news story that I just didn't know about. So I really do thank you guys a lot. Oh, good news, Guru, I forgot. The Android App Addicts... Google Play app is now all the sources up on GitHub. So now anyone who wants to make their own podcast app has at least a base framework to start off of. Tell me that ain't good.
Sweet.
See, that was nice.
Yes.
Okay. So, a few things. I'm, of course, away from home, so I don't have access to my fancy equipment. I'm instead using this less fancy equipment. And
it seems to be working.
Well, yeah, I had a little Pi difficulty. But, you know, I could actually, if I give it its own dedicated power supply, I could make the Pi our permanent streamer.
Well, with the sound quality that I'm hearing right now, that would be perfectly okay.
Yeah, so the problem is it just needs its own dedicated power source. That's, after all this, that was the problem. Go figure. Time to buy a really nice USB charger. Anyway.
Which, as I understand it, you get the best ones at Apple.
Not going to happen.
No, seriously, there was a...
This guy
took a whole bunch of USB, wall warts from a variety of different manufacturers and ran tests on them, for the amount of current that they would put out while maintaining their voltage, the variability in the voltage that they output, flutter inside the voltage.
No,
and
Apple
put out
the
highest
like.
Quality.
I have a company I like. I
what you call them?
Nutrient. They make batteries. They also make a very nice dual charger.
Ah.
Very consistent. Anyways, so I'm here, and you know, I will perfect this setup here. I have the Chromebook sitting here. I have the Droid 2 running audio for Jerry. And I have the little mini mixer. Now, Jerry, you told me earlier you were thinking of getting a mixer of your own.
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you have options.
I really want to do it all in software.
Well, let me ask you a question. What are you mixing? Just yourself?
Okay, so the setup that I have right now is that my... Okay, let's back up and let's go to podcast, my other podcast.
Yeah, in fact, I left you a whole I left you a whole section here. So tell me what sort of Podcoin you're going to be talking about.
So last week I mentioned that I would like to do a podcast on Bitcoins.
Yes.
And then if anybody wanted to be a co-host, you know, hit me up. I had three different people respond, and all three people recommended the exact same person as my co-host.
Who's he?
Richard Hughes.
Okay. And how's it going?
We've chatted a couple times via POTS. We've chatted a couple times via instant message, and we've gotten on Mumble together and Hangouts in YouTube to do some testing.
Okay.
So the setup as I currently have it is I run a Mumble server locally that I connect to and he connects to, and then I record that locally, hard drive.
Okay.
Then we both, for streaming, we both log into a Google Hangout and streams that to YouTube.
Okay. So you're going to do video?
Yeah, I'm not really thrilled about the video. I did buy a webcam.
Which one? There are two that are reasonably good that have a tripod mount, which I think is essential if you want to actually put it in a good place. There's the Logitech, I think it's the 920. And then there's the LifeCam, the Microsoft LifeCam Studio, I think is the thread.
I got the 920.
Okay. So I guess one of the two that you could possibly get.
The problem is I don't know where to put it. You know, I have a wall of monitors around me, right? If I put it at the top of the monitor, it's too high. If I put it at the bottom of the monitor, it's too low. There's no space in between the monitors because they're all butted up together. And if I put it off to the side where there's not a monitor, then you're looking at the side of my face the entire time.
Well, what if you...
Not that you want to look at either side, any side of my face.
What if you put it on a tripod? You know, set up something temporarily that would be the right height.
Then it would be on the floor.
No, tripods would be up higher.
Right, but the tripod would still sit on the floor. I mean, I could make the tripod taller, but it would still be on the floor.
Okay, but couldn't you get into the right angle?
No, because the floor that is accessible, there's either a floor to the side of me or there's floor behind my monitors.
Well, let me ask you a question. What if you aimed it at you with the monitors behind you? Do you need to see anything on the monitors while you're talking?
I'd like to, you know, screw around and surf the internet and, you know, watch porn while I'm doing it. And I can't have a...
Well, you see why we do audio.
Yes.
Yeah. One, it's easier.
Two, you can't really tell if I'm paying attention or if I'm picking my nose or if I'm, you know, wiping stuff off or refilling my drink. You know, you pretty much, you hear my connectedness in my voice. You don't see it in my face, which is fine because that works out.
It's also for the car. I like to, you know, there are podcasts that I watch that are talking heads, but I generally watch them when I'm wandering around the house doing something else and not looking at the screen very often.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that there's some overlap, but there are many things where I'm listening to the podcast while I'm driving somewhere. I'm listening to the podcast while I'm, let's just say, avoiding exercise because I'm not very effective at it, but let's say attempting to exercise. So.
Sure. I think podcasts are most effective when you have your concentration elsewhere. And I don't think I'm a high enough quality guy to be able to produce something that you want to sit and watch for an hour.
Well,
but you know, if you're driving around or you're on the treadmill, you know, pop me in and listen to me for an hour.
Well, you know, I'm going to listen to your Bitcoin podcast, even though I'm interested in Bitcoin, I have not gotten into the Bitcoin world. I assume there'll be a segment for people who don't know enough about Bitcoin.
Yes, it's not a podcast. Insiders.
Well, you know, you can call it Bitginners. I'm going to run out of bit puns, aren't I?
So anyway, the podcast name is called The Merkle Tree.
Okay, you didn't use any of my suggestions. I'm hurt.
You didn't give me any suggestions until I had already named it, bought the domain name, set up the website, created email addresses, etc.
Well, if you do want to borrow my Icecast server, as long as it's not recording on Monday nights at 10, it seems to be available.
We are going to do Thursday nights at 10.
Okay, well, if you are interested, as I said, the Icecast server that we use for the show is available. It's only 32 kilobits, which is why you said it was tinny. 32 kilobits is about AM radio. But sure. Other than me occasionally...
But for voice, that's fine.
Yeah, other than me occasionally singing, you don't really need... If you wanted to have a spring for 64 kilobit, that would be about $2 more a month. I'm sure we could swing it. You know, we're getting that Dyn DNS money. Speaking of Dyn DNS money...
I think that was the idea of putting it on a Hangout, is that then we don't have to worry about bandwidth or anything.
Okay. Well, just remember... So,
not sure I'm a fan of that.
Well, you know... Google recently has gotten a lot of flack over their decision to kill Reader.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who are saying that because of that, they don't know whether or not they can trust any Google product except the ones that they know are really successful.
Like YouTube.
Yes, YouTube is not going away. Gmail is probably not going away.
Right, because those search is probably not going away.
What about Google Keep?
I have no idea what that is.
Someone didn't read the rundown.
No. Come on, share.
Okay, Google Keep came out earlier this week. It's a note-taking application that syncs with Google Drive that they released. There's an Android app, and There's a basic website. So the idea is that Google Drive is something that Google's focusing on, which is a unification of all of its docs-based stuff. So what you're getting is their entrance into, let's call it the Evernote SpringPad space, where they're saying Google Drive is not just for documents and such for office things. They want to go after OneNote and all these things that do note taking as an essential part of their office suite. Also, there's been suggestions, not from anybody at Google, that this might be where they're going to move tasks, which is built into Gmail. So Take tasks out of Gmail and move it into Drive as part of their rearrangement of a lot of their core services. I haven't tried it yet. I've been busy. You know,
I'm not a big note-taking guy.
I'd like to be more organized. I'm not, but I'd like to be.
Sure. Wouldn't we all?
Making sure I show up for this podcast every week is probably the most organized I am. At least.
No, man. Come on. You don't.
I'm saying in my personal life.
You put a lot of effort into this podcast. I'm starting to see that now. And I feel bad for taking advantage of you these 140-something episodes.
141. But basically, that's the reason why you were not involved in the live to tape decision. But one of the reasons that I decided that I do very little editing on this show, because early on I used to do a lot of editing and I stopped and no one complained. No one said we really want you to take out when Jerry goes or when you sneeze. So the show is basically what you hear, except for one or two minor plugins that I run. Again, Truncate Silence, which takes out some of the long pauses. I level it out a little so that the sound is a little more even, and I crop at the end and I crop at the beginning. But aside from that, what you hear is essentially what happened when we recorded it live. So if you show up, you're going to hear exactly what you heard. The music was played live, as you could hear from when I couldn't get the music working the way I thought I was going to. I have to work on that. I have an idea. I'm going to break up my old Sansa clip and put the music in there. That'll be for next time. You know, we all need something to look forward to. I may actually try using the mobile studio at home for a few times for testing purposes with the other studio as a fallback so I can have it. I'll figure out something. I need to make sure that it's prepared. Not that I go that many places, but, you know, I'd like to get this tiny setup done properly. Just skipping ahead to a few other things. I want to wish a happy birthday to Dan Fry. Today is his birthday, March 24th.
Happy birthday, Dan. Yes. And interestingly, Dan was one of the people that recommended Rich to me.
Really? I did not know that. But you know how I knew that it was Dan Fry's birthday? Google Now told me. I have the Google Now widget on one of my home screens, and there's a picture of Daniel Fry right there, smiling, and it says birthday today. Otherwise, I can honestly say I would not remember when his birthday was. No offense, but I don't remember when a lot of people's birthdays are. But
you have a hard enough time remembering your own, right?
Well, I get the day off, so I always remember when my birthday is.
There's
this little known contractual thing that they got rid of, but I'm grandfathered in, so I get my birthday off. Mm-hmm. Sorry, people who came in after me who don't get it.
I just added the Google Now widget to my homepage.
Well, when they announced it, I decided to try it, and I just sort of left it there. you know, I have more than one screen, so I can just swipe over to my weather widget. By the way, it is 36 degrees here, and it's supposed to snow. Yeah, should have gone to Florida for my week off.
Well, it's doing a lot of rain in here.
Well, at least it isn't snow. Have you ever had to shovel
it is
rain?
Not snow. No. How do you shovel rain?
That was more the point. There's no need to shovel rain. So just a moment. I did want to mention our sponsor.
DYN.com.
I don't like to forget them. Sometimes we get so carried away with things that I forget about them. Not because they're not interesting, but, you know, I've actually been using their free product, which I've had for a very long time. So because I'm up here, normally I'm unable to access my home equipment because it's behind my company equipment. They gave me a VPN router to install in my home. But because I took the VPN router with me so in case I needed to do work up here, I can actually access my house directly. So I'm accessing my house using my old Dyn DNS account.
Still active, huh?
Well, even though the router, the VPN router that work gave me blocks all the incoming ports, I still had the router behind it at, updating the old Dyn DNS account every day just so that the account would remain active. But again, that's not necessarily the best example of what Dyn.com can do for you, because the services that you get. Now, if I was regularly not behind a prohibitive firewall, or if I could get somebody in our IT department to forward some ports for me, which they're too busy to do most of the time, I could use their Dyn DNS Pro account, which is essentially the pro version of what it is I'm using, which is I have one of the old free accounts. But the pro version actually is more involved. That's Dyn DNS Pro, which is you can access your computer, DVR, webcam, or camera remotely without having to remember an IP address. So basically, it assigns you your host name. For $25 a year, you get your host name. You get up to 30 host names. Excuse me, I'm wrong here. Email support, access to premium Dyn DNS names, rapid propagation. So essentially, they set their TTLs as low as 20 seconds. So if you update, they'll know within 20 seconds. And you can choose from one of their 260 premium domains. So you don't get a custom domain. That's a little more. But you can essentially use from any of those. And since it's for my own personal use, I don't care what the domain is, just as long as I can remember it. I don't even remember what it is, actually. I have to log in every time to remind me. But I think that that's a good product. And of course, you have the personal and small business low traffic. You have the Dyn standard DNS, which is, so the pro is $25 per year. The standard DNS is $29.95 a year. And that's a managed DNS product for your own registered domain name. And what that does is it gives you complete control over your DNS. And it gives you essentially ease-based tools, award-winning support, complete control, 5 geographically diverse servers, and essentially full support, and that's $30 a year. And after that, you get into managed DNS, which is much more expensive. That's $30 per month or $200. And that's the stuff where you're a business that really wants to make sure that everything works. That's enterprise-level stuff. So, you know, give it a shot. That may be for you. Hopefully, you have a business that deserves this. For the personal, they have great stuff for individuals. They even offer, let's see, again, email delivery. I keep saying I'm going to try this. They have a product, Dyn ECT Email Delivery Lite 10, which I think is new since the last time we looked at it. It's $3 a month, and it allows you to send 10,000 emails.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Their Lite 40, which is $12 a month, allows you to send 40,000 emails. So I've been looking for something. I've been thinking of setting up the Android Buffet newsletter. So once a week, if you didn't want to subscribe by Podcatcher, you'd get an email. Now, I've done this before with Feedburner, but I don't trust Feedburner because it's a Google product and it could go away tomorrow. I know. That's what a lot of people are saying about Google products right now. But Feedburner seems to be on the chopping block. The writing has been on the wall because it's in the same position as Reader, where they aren't throwing very many resources at it. They've been cannibalizing it. And one of these days, it could be part of a spring cleaning. So it's a product that I'm concerned.
Isn't Feedburner responsible for the majority of podcast syndication on the internet, if you don't include iTunes?
Yes. And a lot of people have been slowly migrating their feeds away. Now, I have
where?
Self-hosted or to other third paid parties. Now, the Android Buffet theme feeds, I've moved back to being self-hosted. The Feedburner feeds are still there, but I'm going to eventually redirect them back to us. So we're going to host our own feeds. And we always did. It just, we masked it and had them redirected to the Feedburner ones. So I'm going to go back. You know, I made an announcement telling people that we're no longer advertising the Feedburner feeds some time ago. But I've left them up, so I'm eventually going to kill them. But Feedburner does give this email product that I very much like, which is for those people who don't want to have a podcatcher, who want to download the episodes, they can get an email notification that it's coming. So maybe I might check out the Dyn ECT Email Delivery Lite 10. I want to send a few critical emails per month. I think 10,000 should cover me. And even if I get up to the 40,000, that's $12 per month. That isn't too bad. And, you know, I can do other emails too. But I'll have a look. That would require me to set up some infrastructure. So I'm lazy. Although I am on vacation this week. Maybe I have some time. I will be a
bit
busy.
So who are we advertising? Oh, I remember. DYN.com.
I just love it when he says that. You know, they should record that and put it on other podcasts. But I am on vacation this week, so I could go and spend some more time with DYN.com. And remember, if you're interested in spending some time with them, you can get 30% off by using that promo code. Do you remember what that is, Jerry?
DYN.com/podcast30.
Yes, or you can use the promo code podcast30 in the box at checkout. That's 30% off. They want to give you time to try the product and to enjoy it. And we know that you will love the product as much as we enjoy talking about the product. Right, Jerry?
That's right.
One more time.
DYN.com. DYN.com. Podcast30.
Yes. I want to know what he does with the next sponsor.
Yes. I hope it's only three letters because otherwise it doesn't work so well.
I don't know. What if we got sponsored by, I have to think of a company with a really long name.
SQUARSPACE.com. Say no.
No. Anyway, some other news that came up. Nokia has refused to license the VP8 patents, or at least the things that they say affect the VP8 codec, to Google after the search giant had come to terms with MPEG-LA, which is the largest holder of video-related patents. So, more problems for VP8. Shame.
Yeah.
Google has killed Frommer's, at least the paper version. So they bought Frommer's.
How does that work?
They're going to keep
it. How do you kill Frommer's? Or the paper version, anyway. That just doesn't seem quite right.
Well, basically, they're going to keep the digital properties. They are no longer interested in distributing paper books. So there will be no more Frommer's guides.
Have you ever seen the movie Euro Vacation? What was the name of that movie?
National Lampoon's.
Had Michelle Trachtenberg and with the guy that.
Euro Trip?
Euro Trip, yeah.
No, didn't see it. Saw the preview.
Oh, awesome. Funny movie. But if you take away the Frommer's, then the jokes in the movie make no more sense.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And I'll be sad.
Is that the only reason?
Pretty much. I'm not, yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. I see the point that nowadays people get more real-time sources online.
Hey, we did a voicemail from...
Door.
Yeah. You know, I received some emails regarding the podcast over this last week.
Yeah, and one of them you actually received from the same guy as me, but I did want to save that. But if you'd like to take a moment, why don't you read it? Because usually I'm the one who reads these things.
Okay. Is this from...
Is it from that guy who didn't want us to give his name in the second email, but not in the first?
Okay, this is not from Robert.
Okay.
I don't remember that that part of the second one.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, Guru and Jerry. I have been an avid listener for the last few months for several reasons. I'm trying to up-tech my brain to better understand the wonderful, wacky world of Google and Android, hopefully to better fit into the iNet world in general, to learn some high computer geekies, and to have something more fun than very dry legal work. Anyway, I've been here in China for almost 7 years, and the Goog is making the iNet exciting, as opposed to Apple analism. Thank you. Because the powers that be actually think they can control dissemination of knowledge. I find myself in need of sources of interesting info. Imagine knocking out the New York Times and trying to do the same to the Goog. Oh well, if they just stopped slowing everything down, we could handle the blocking. So, I signed up for Stitcher Radio and was pleasantly surprised by all the Android podcasts. When I saw your logo, it reminded me of a drawing I saw in the last few years of Snow White eating an apple with blood all over her face and dress. And so I said to myself, these guys have a unique sense of humor that you'll probably like. Well, was I ever happily surprised to hear your show and to realize that your folksy talents are vastly above and beyond humor. Maybe it would be fair to say you guys are the Garrison Kellyers of podcasting. Keelers.
Garrison Keeler.
No idea.
Is the host of Prairie Home Companion.
Okay, I don't know what that is either. But, okay, so apparently he listens to that as well.
They have a podcast.
You guys are way above the competition, who mostly sound like they're working in some sort of geek locker room, complete with mostly juvenile, for lack of a better word, locker room humor. Long story short, you guys give definition and meaning to the way overworked word, awesome. Never thought I'd use that vapid word, but it loses that quality in this context. You each have your own talents. Guru, I guess you should let us in on who you are because you definitely deserve the recognition and credit. However, you have this mystique that might be lost. So I'm 50-50 on that issue, and thus don't break your 2-2 tie. Whatever the final score or decision, it's okay by me. Of course, Garrison Keillor takes his bows, and maybe you should as well. Jerry, I like your abruptly positive decisiveness, and your way of spelling DYN.com is memorable. They should give you guys free service in addition to whatever they're paying. I actually looked at their website and may well sign up for some services when I return stateside in the next 6 to 9 months. Anyway, I followed your example and pledged $250 to Droidify in hopes of getting some sort of VPN system going. Speaking of Droidify, I guess you saw their news about having been on your show and a link. Well, it's past my bedtime. We're 12 hours ahead of East Coast time. I wanted to thank you both for helping to explain some of the iNet revolutionary goings-on, as well as for not being Appleholics.
There was a follow-up that occurred 2 days later.
Okay, let me see if I can find that.
Do you want me to read it? I have it right here.
Sure.
Okay. Guru and Jerry, this is a follow-up to my email from March 20th. I guess that I should ask you not to ID me on your podcast other than to use a nickname such as Woody, an expat working in China, or such name that might mask my ID since I may have my own personal hacker watching my emails. I don't mean to sound at all negative, but I have to comply with all the People's Republic of China laws, even if they just make them up as they go. Sort of like the Lone Ranger and or Guru's employer before she or he saw the light. This is me, holding everyone in his light. Woody, that's with 3 W's. This is a worldwide web modernization of the nickname I got for attending Woodstock, long before you were born. Imagine that, Roseanne Rosanadana. Oh, that's an even more obscure reference. You know that one?
No.
I haven't heard that reference in years.
I did understand the reference to Woodstock, though.
Roseanne Rosanadana was a sketch character.
What's a what?
A sketch character. I think it was Saturday Night Live. I'm trying to remember. 70s, I think. This is going to bother me. No, it was definitely
1970. I was minus 5 years old.
How old do you think I was in 1970?
Minus 3.
Wait a minute. You know how old I am.
I'm sure you've told me. That doesn't mean I know.
What year were you born again?
What's sad is that's something I say to my wife all the time. I know you told me. That doesn't mean I know.
Here we are. Roseanne Rosanadana. I was right. It was sketch comedy. It was Saturday Night Live. Roseanne Rosanadana was one of the several recurring characters created by Gilda Radner, who appeared in the Weekend Update segments of the early seasons of Saturday Night Live. Let's see. Roseanne Rosanadana was not meek or apologetic, but was rather brash and tactless. The routine followed a... How do I get to Mount St. Helens? Here we are. Let's see. Strict formula, she would read a letter from the ever-curious Richard Fader of Fort Lee, New Jersey. The letter would ask a series of questions, usually about some social issue, to which Roseanne Nadana would usually reply, "Mr. Fader, you sure do ask a lot of questions for a guy from New Jersey." Or, "You belong in New Jersey." She would then make a derogatory comment about New Jersey before moving on to the question. Why is it that just makes me think of Murph all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Well, he's from New Jersey.
I also got some other emails. Okay. The majority of them were about introducing me to Rich. But the first one that I got that was almost immediately after we podcasted was from a buzzy guy. And he says, "I thought it was hilarious when Guru was telling the stories of the Jews and you were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Are you atheist? Please tell me that you are." And he and I had a couple.
Okay, well.
And I just thought that was funny. That he thought it was funny because I'm not familiar with your story.
Okay, well, you know, I was not quite telling the, I was sort of abbreviating and occasionally glossing. I'll give you the story of what I'm going to do tomorrow night and the subsequent night. I'm going to, somewhere after sunset, I'm going to go into a room with other people, and we're going to sit there until after 2 a.m, arguing about something that happened thousands of years ago.
Right.
And there's wine.
And there's wine.
I don't drink, but there will be other people in the room drinking. If you consider four...
Don't you have to drink?
I drink grape juice.
Well, that's great. Not going to get you drunk.
4 cups of wine between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. also will not get you drunk.
So you need 4 bottles.
That wouldn't be the tradition. It's cups.
They could be big cups.
I'm sure they could be. There's a running joke at the table.
It would make the...
For the last 15 years, they keep trying to spike my drink.
Mm-hmm. And is it working?
Some years they succeed. Some years they fail. Some years the people who do it go elsewhere. But it's been a long-standing tradition.
All right.
Well, you know, we need tradition.
Yes, we do.
And no, I'm not going to lapse into a Fiddler on the Roof song.
Okay, good, because, all right.
Well, I don't know. Every time somebody who's Jewish says the word tradition, somebody starts humming Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know what it is. Anyway, moving along. Smartphones are apparently killing impulse purchases at checkout. Shoppers who used to browse magazines or pick out their gum while they were waiting in line are looking at their smartphones instead. So apparently, this is resulting in lower gum and magazine sales.
Sure, I'll buy that.
Okay, so the smartphone may kill the gum industry.
And it will hopefully kill the tabloid industry.
What about online tablets?
Nah.
Yeah, Gawker has to be good for something. Anyway,
The Verge.
not really a tabloid though.
You don't think so? Really? Okay.
Well, tabloids, they don't really make things up. They do sensationalist headlines, but nowadays everybody on the internet is doing bait.
Right, which kind of is what leads me to believe.
But the story, no, I'm saying the stories are well researched.
On The Verge?
Compared to what? Compared to what website? There are websites where the stories are horribly researched. Are you talking about to the standards of the New York Times? No. But are they usually factual, as far as I can
Are they
tell?
better than Lifehacker?
Well, Lifehacker isn't a news site.
Well, it's also a subset of Gawker.
Well, I was more thinking of the Gawker sites that are, the entertainment ones and the ones that focus on the same things that tabloids focus on. I have issues with Gawker, although I do think that Lifehacker is useful every so often.
Sure.
Speaking of all sorts of shady things, Facebook admitted to tracking non-users.
Ah, no.
Yes, it's shocking that Facebook, in addition to tracking people who are Facebook users, are tracking people who are not logged into Facebook.
You know what's shocking?
What?
That they admitted it. It's not shocking that they're doing it. Come on.
Well, they denied it for a long time. Now they've said they're doing it. Over
They're
on
just
the.
tracking everybody.
Yeah.
Which means that if you have a website and you put one of those Facebook share buttons on it, you are contributing.
Okay, so Android Buffet is contributing.
You are an evil, evil man person.
Okay. Just install Facebook Disconnect. There's a plugin for that, and it's available for
Is there?
Chrome. Yeah. Look for Facebook Disconnect, or just Disconnect, which will also block a bunch of other sites like Twitter from following you. So you can block sites from following you, and there are people who wrote plugins for that. Meanwhile, on the Google side of things, YouTube has hit 1 billion monthly viewers.
Sure, I'll buy that. And they're all watching Gangnam Style.
I don't quite get that, but I decided to do something with my YouTube account. I didn't know I
You
had a
did.
YouTube account, but apparently I do. Because I have a Google Plus account, I must have a YouTube account, apparently.
Yes.
So it was telling me that it knew all the videos that I had watched while logged into my Google account. So I figured, why bother? Let it tell me about some more videos I might want to learn about. Let's see, certain versions of the T-Mobile Wi-Fi calling application, which I know I've mentioned on the show is one of the reasons why T-Mobile is tempting to me. It's the reception being why it's not. They had a security vulnerability. They've said as of March 18th, there's been an update to correct that. But we'll see. Jeff Bezos, have you heard of him, Terry?
Hold on. Did you hear that there was a there's like a 10 or geez, I can't remember. A 10 or $100,000 reward for anybody who can port that Wi-Fi calling stuff to the Nexus 7?
Really? I did not know that.
It's a lot of money.
What surprises me is that one of these companies hasn't just said that they'll let you set up a Wi-Fi calling account. But it's very tempting for me because I'm sitting here in the middle of nowhere. This is the place that makes it reluctant for me to switch off of Verizon because reception up here is so horrible and I'm up here regularly visiting.
Yes, but you have Wi-Fi there.
And I have a Verizon femtocell sitting right here next to me.
I think the problem with third parties providing Wi-Fi is that they can't transition you to a cell phone or a cell network after you, if you move out of range of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but the thing is with Wi-Fi, and that's the problem with Republic Wireless, which their whole business is, we'll give you really cheap wireless because we're counting on you to be on Wi-Fi all the time. But the issue is, pretty much all smartphones have wireless. Why is it that I can't pipe the call over wireless as an option? Then my phone would have
I think
bars
the
wherever I
problem
need
is
to.
transitioning.
Well, no, that's always been a problem. But T-Mobile doesn't seem to be bothered by it, and it would get me reception everywhere, and it would make most of these companies more attractive. Because you can't have service everywhere. You can't have wonderful service. You can say, somebody can come to you and say, well, service in my house isn't so wonderful, but I can connect my phone to Wi-Fi, and suddenly all calls will not be dropped. Why not? The companies could save a lot of money, and they can pour money
Sure.
into transitioning.
SMS too.
Well,
I don't understand why when I'm at home and I'm not on my femtocell, but I'm on Wi-Fi, SMS messages show up randomly. But if
Well,
I send an MMS or receive an MMS, it shows up randomly. But once it gets here, the actual image or video or whatever comes in over Wi-Fi, so it's really quick. But it's the, I just don't get it.
Well, if you look further down in our rundown, Verizon updated its Messages app, and they're allowing text messages to be synced to the web and to tablets. So you could install the Verizon app on your Nexus 7 and be able to send text messages from your Nexus 7 using the text message capabilities of your account. Now, they're going to charge you if you don't have an unlimited texting account, but they're going in this direction. I think it's because texts are dying, but I know not for your wife. You told me she texts.
Well, she's transitioning to Viber and WhatsApp.
Yeah,
she's
and that's why a lot of companies are pivoting. Systems. So, you know, text messaging isn't what it is. So what is Verizon doing? Verizon is saying, well, we're going to give you text messages on everything because it's no longer a moneymaker for us.
Oh, it's still a huge moneymaker.
I'm talking about in the sense it was. They're now giving unlimited texts as part of their new plans. So they may transition you to a nice, more expensive plan. Let's see. Oh, yes. Jeff Bezos. You've heard of him?
Sounds familiar.
Amazon?
Yeah.
Guy in charge.
Okay. Jeff. Kindle guy.
Yes. He apparently led a privately funded effort to recover the Apollo 11 engines from the bottom of the ocean.
Wow. Why would he do that?
They're going to be put on display.
Because he has so much money that, hey, what else should he do with it, right?
It was a challenge. He wanted a challenge. He enjoys challenges. He succeeded. He wanted to find the original Apollo 11 engines for posterity. He found them, and now he's going to have them put on display. What do you think? He was going to put them in his house?
I don't know. Maybe pull the spare fuel or the unspent fuel out of them and use it to power a water desalination plant in southern Africa. I don't know.
How much spare fuel could there be in something that's been sitting at the bottom of the ocean for 40 years?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm sure it leaked out by now, though.
Oh, great. So we've been killing plants and stuff for thousands of years, thanks to the Apollo 11 engines.
It's been 40 years. How do you get thousands? We will be killing, if you're referring to that. But I'm sure they would be dead by now anyway. Any fish that got killed in 1969 is probably still dead. I couldn't resist. Sorry.
I don't know why, but that strikes me as so funny. Probably still dead.
Yes, I'm reasonably certain. Unless there was some sort of secret radiation inside the Apollo 11 engines, in which case it could be a mutant undead fish.
You know, I've been listening to some podcasts lately that are podcasts or news stories or whatever talking about how zombieism, being like a zombie, could be a real thing. Okay. And now you bring it up.
I didn't say that's it was a real thing. Spooky. I was talking about mutant undead fish. You're the one who leaped to zombies.
Sounds like mutant undead sounds like zombie to me.
Well, according to the film industry, zombies are not undead. They must be living dead. I never quite understood that phrase, you know, Night of the Living Dead. Wouldn't the dead, by logic, not be living?
By definition. The difference between undead and living dead, I don't understand.
Okay, well, if any of you are experts on the subject of undead and living dead, feel free to drop us a line and explain if that's podcast@androidbuffet.com. And Jerry, because you have an upcoming podcast on Bitcoin, I put in some Bitcoin stories for you so you can plug your upcoming Podcoin. So from now on, I'm not referring to it as a podcast. It's a Podcoin. Since you didn't,
called the Merkle Tree.
Yes, but since you didn't name it after my idea, Podcoin, I'm going to refer to it as a Podcoin. So it is the Merkle Tree, your Bitcoin Podcoin.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm kidding. But so I left you some stories here, which you can talk about on your show. Is the government trying to regulate Bitcoin? In one word, Jerry, yes or no?
Yes.
Follow up, Jerry?
Kinda. Well, they're not. They haven't introduced any new rules. They've just added clarifications such that, you know, there's all sorts of rules about if I send you money, then I don't have to be a money transmitter or licensed as a money transmitter. But if I send money to you and then that I got from somebody else, then I am a. It's.
Does this change anything for the exchanges?
No, it doesn't. They always, in theory, had to be licensed as money brokers, money transmitters. There's some vague wording in there that makes people think that miners will need to be registered as money transmitters if they sell the coins that they get for U.S. for other currencies instead of just spending it. But it's not. My interpretation is that they're not trying to regulate Bitcoin. They're not trying to put control on Bitcoin. They're merely trying to control money laundering, whatever the form is. And that's it. I don't think it's a Bitcoin-specific attack.
Okay, so there's one other question. Is this an ethical conundrum for journalists? is Bitcoin a currency, or is it like a stock where you should be required to disclose that you have holdings in Bitcoin?
So basically the question is, if I'm a journalist,
or if even if you're just a blogger or a podcaster.
So here's the question. Personally, would I be ethically required to disclose that I own Bitcoin?
That's the question. Not how many, because you're not required to say that you are how much stock you own in something, unless, of course, you're a majority shareholder. Should you be required to note that you have a holding in Bitcoins?
Now, how does that change whether it is a currency or a stock?
Because I'm not required to say how much money I have as a precursor to talking about having money. So if you do a finance blog, you're not required to talk about how much money you have. There are people who do, though.
If you're a reporter on, say, currency markets,
okay,
and you have a position in euros, are you required to disclose that you own euros?
As far as I know, no, but that's if it's a currency.
So, okay.
So the question is, should it be treated? Right now, no government recognizes Bitcoin as a currency. Therefore, should it be treated like a stock? For the simple reason that it is not recognized as a currency. It's recognized as something that has value.
I cannot comment on whether Bitcoin is a currency or a stock. I personally believe that it shares more properties of a currency than it does of a stock. However, I believe that if you are reporting on anything that is remotely related to Bitcoins, then you should disclose whether you own Bitcoins or not. And that's not from is it a currency or is it a stock? It is to give your listeners or readers a better view on your perspective. But that's my take on it. And for the record, I do have Bitcoins.
We know that already.
I have had Bitcoins for multiple years. Not many, but some.
Okay, well, because we've been talking for a bit, I am going to postpone talking more about my search for a reader replacement till next week. We're going to call that a cliffhanger, Jerry.
I'm all a buzz.
And remember, next week, due to the holiday, I have asked you if you would reschedule for Wednesday at 10.
Wednesday at 10.
Which will be my return from here, and it will be my first day back at work. So I will come home from
work. We're going to have so much news. That's like, you know, like 10 days from now. That's like a week and a half.
But because in the middle of the week I have some extra time, you know, I might put together some stuff so that we have a backlog of maybe some special features. Remember how I used to do some more special features when I had more time? I may do one of those.
Yeah.
I'll see. But either way, I'm going to continue my search for a reader replacement. And, you know, stay tuned to Gadget Wisdom because I'm also going to be talking about it a little there if I have some time. And my trials with NewsBlur and Tiny Tiny RSS. So there's my cliffhanger. Okay, back to the wonderful news of Android. There's a great article on how NASA got an Android ready for space. So they were using Nexus S's as the brains of various space probes.
Isn't that just crazy?
Yeah, and they were essentially, if you look at the article, they were talking about how they broke one trying to figure out which chip they had to kill in order to avoid interfering with systems.
Uh-huh.
So they were trying to kill the cell phone chip.
That's funny.
Yeah. Also, I saw this great tip that I've never tried. Charge your phone faster by switching to airplane mode.
Sure, I'll buy that.
Well, no, I buy it, but it never occurred to me. Eric Schmidt at a conference in India said that Android and Chrome will stay separate, but there may be overlap. Pretty much what I said last week, except I'm not a Google insider, so I can't say that. It was just my theory.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Keep a bit. There's a new Drive API that allows third-party apps to edit docs in real time. So this might mean that you'll see more apps that integrate to Google Drive with real-time collaboration.
I like it.
Amazon enabled bulk purchase of apps for the Kindle Fire HD. This is an extension.
What does that mean?
Okay, for the Kindle, originally, and I heard an interview with a guy who was an IT professional for a school district that bought ebook reader Kindles, so the e-ink style, for their students in lieu of textbooks, and Amazon had to essentially manually push the books to the individual Kindles for them. So earlier this year, they launched an administrative tool. So you've heard of WhisperSync, which is their keep everything together. They launched an administrative version for people who are managing large amounts of Kindles. So they've expanded that system. So now, let's say that you, instead of your school district buying a bunch of traditional $69 Kindles, they're now buying Kindle Fires for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now,
they can buy and push everybody an app. So essentially, you know, let's say you buy everybody a Kindle Fire HD, you can push all your textbooks and all your educational apps to the thing. Buy it for everyone, handle administration.
I like it.
Well, that's why I mentioned it. I think it's a good idea, and I'm always impressed about the ideas. Speaking of Amazon, the Amazon App Store celebrated its birthday. It launched March 22nd, 2012. Does anybody care? I don't know. I got rid of the Amazon App Store. Didn't do very much for me.
Yeah, I haven't really used it at all lately either.
Any of the apps that I liked that they gave me for free, I decided to repurchase. Just because I didn't use it enough to justify myself having the thing on my phone and using up battery. So I just bought the two apps I actually liked, gave the developer some money, and moved on.
There you go.
Okay, Motorola's Guy Kawasaki has asked if you'd like to personalize your device at the time of order. So apparently this is something he's asking people, and this is interesting. Would you order a custom smartphone?
Well, it depends. Custom how? Is it?
Well, I'm thinking got Dell.
My name etched on it, or do I get to pick the amount of RAM, the type of camera?
I'm thinking
resolution.
As I said, I'm thinking Dell. You know, you go to the Dell site and you order a computer, and it gives you five or six different options. You know, the color of the thing, if they, and they've done that, the amount of RAM you have in there, the onboard storage. So essentially, my guess by this is that Motorola is thinking about phones that, like, let's say, a Dell computer, have certain parts that can be swapped out at the time of assembly. So have some customization.
Well, I just can't imagine where I would select anything that is not top of the line on a phone, because it's not like you can update it.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, I have the same theory when it comes to laptops. Get the absolute most laptop that you can afford at the moment you're going to buy it, because updating it later is a pain.
But the thing
unless,
is,
of
you
course,
have,
you're talking about hard drive or memory.
Well, you also have the fact is, if they're asking this, it may be that they're thinking about phones moving in the direction of computers, where you could do a self-upgrade, not necessarily of everything. But would, let's say, Verizon or Sprint object if there was onboard memory that you could increase? They might. But again, this is a guy who's evangelizing for Motorola, not necessarily thinking about what the carriers are going to want. And you also have what you mentioned, which was colors, etchings, all these other personalizations. Google started out with the Nexus One, where they tried to sell the phone directly to the public. Now, they started doing that a little again with the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 7 and some of their other products. But what if that's what they're thinking for Motorola, where you get the phone, you can personalize the phone, they will send you the phone, and they'll send you exactly, if you're willing to pay full price, they'll send you exactly the phone you want with exactly the parts you wanted in it out of a choice of five or six different options.
I can appreciate that.
Okay. I don't know what it's going to come out of it, because I think this is just an idea they're batting around. I don't think they're doing it yet, but I just think it's an interesting one. Phones are moving towards becoming people's primary computing devices. And this is what people are going to demand. They're going to demand the opportunity to not only buy one model of the thing, to have variations and to customize more. Anyway, Google is going to, apparently, at least it's a rumor, unify all of its chat services under a new client project called Babel.
That's funny.
So that would be things like Google Talk, Google Voice, Google Plus Messenger, all these other things to one unit. There's not much to say about that, but let's see what happens.
Do you think it's related to the Babel fish?
It could just be Babel, and it's the Babel fish. This is Babel, B-A-B-B-L-E, whereas the fish is B-A-B-E-L. B-A-B-E-L would be a biblical reference, whereas B-A-B-B-L-E is a reference to nonsensical talk.
I have no response to that. You just took all the fun out of my fine.
Okay. KDE's Calligra Office Suite is coming to Android as Coffice. There's an alpha build available in the Google Play Store. You can find the link in the show notes. Onkyo has updated its Android app for new models. Not much there, just nice app. I'm going to control your stereo. I mentioned how Verizon had updated its messages app, so you can sync your text messages to their web client and to a tablet and send your text messages that appear to be from your phone from other devices. Standard text messaging charges may apply. There's a new Pac-Man out there. You like Pac-Man, Jerry?
I do. Back when I was growing up, my mom and I would spend hours on the Atari 2600.
So you can try out this new free Pac-Man. Apparently there's tournament play.
Ooh.
Yes. SoundCloud Sets, which are their playlist alternative, have come to the Android app. So if you happen to want to listen to things on SoundCloud, you can now group songs into a playable collection. The creators of AdBlock Plus, which was recently removed from the Google Play Store, have released it independently. Link available. And here's what I'm skeptical about, Jerry. SnipSnap converts paper coupons to digital ones with an exclusion for manufacturer's coupons. So I just want to ask, did you just hear a beep?
Yep.
Was that your beep or my beep?
That was my beep. I was scanning the QR code for Pac-Man so that I can install it.
Okay. But this is what I'm going.
I like Pac-Man.
This is what I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
SnipSnap converts paper coupons to digital ones. So this is my concern. Many places insist on paper. Because I once tried to show a coupon I'd been emailed to somebody at a store.
Mm-hmm.
And they said unless I printed the coupon, they wouldn't give me the rebate.
Sure, makes sense.
So how will this... I haven't tried this, and I'm going to have to fiddle with it a bit. But how will SnipSnap ensure that the store, seeing my picture of a coupon, will actually let me do something with it?
I don't know. Although them needing the paper coupon makes sense. I mean, they trade those coupons in for money.
Well, that's the manufacturer. So, that's the manufacturer's ones. But what about the store coupons?
The store coupons? No, they shouldn't. I don't know.
Anyway, there's now a Jawbone Up app for Android. So if you want to try one of those exercise band things, you can try the Jawbone Up, and it will connect to your Android device. That's all I have to say about that, since I haven't tried the thing. Google Currents now has support for audio playback. So I have to ask you, Jerry, should we have a Google Currents?
Is that me or you?
That's me. I forgot to mute the phone. I don't usually have it in the same room.
Oh.
Somebody wants to tell me about another podcast. How rude of them. But they don't know I'm doing a podcast, so I don't normally do a podcast at this time. Anyway, do you think we should have support for Google Currents for Android Buffet?
I don't know.
Well, Currents is more of a magazine thing. I know that I have a link to... I haven't updated the Gadget Wisdom Google Current thing that I set up just to try it. I think I put an Android Buffet in there. But I'll go give it a shot. I'll try to update it and see what happens. Minium is an Indiegogo-funded keyboard that compresses to one row, offers a floating keyboard, and some other unique features. Did you have a chance to check out the video?
I did not.
Now, I'm a little skeptical about anything that wants me to give them money before there's a product.
Sure.
Well, we discussed that during the Droidify conversation. But it looks pretty good. It's not like they're asking for much, but they've already reached about 5 times their original funding goal, so I don't think they need my money anymore.
So, I hate to do this, but we need to wrap this up, because I need to go pick up my wife and kids.
Okay, well, there's only one more item on the list. There's a new Gmail app. It adds archive, delete, and reply to their rich notifications. So now, when you get an email, you can see it in your rich notifications and reply to it from there. Sound nice?
Eh.
Okay, well, that's the end of that. And you have to go pick up some people, and I have to engage in some indentured servitude. I promised my family that I would help them set up for the holidays after they promised that they wouldn't bother me for the whole podcast. So just a few things. This is, of course, the Android Buffet podcast. You can contact us by emailing us at podcast@androidbuffet.com, or you can use the contact form on our website. You can, of course, send us messages or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/androidbuffet. You can circle us on Google Plus with our Google Plus page run by the intrepid Kevin Lachlan. You can follow us on Twitter at Android Buffet. And, of course, you can leave us a voicemail. That's 201-2-WENICA. And this is, of course, the co-host still waiting, since we're still stuck at 50-50 for what I should do with my identity here in the woods of upstate New York, waiting for an answer. Back to you.
All right. Y'all have a good... if you do want to check out the Bitcoin podcast, we're going to do our very, very, very first one Thursday at 10 p.m. You can go to MerkleTree.com to later on in the week and closer to the time we're going to broadcast to figure out where you can... No.
Okay, can you send me a note when the site is live, and I'll put up a special note on Android Buffet?
Sure.
Admittedly, there's people don't usually watch the feed for notes, but I'll put one up, and I will tweet it from the Android Buffet account, put it on the Android Buffet Facebook page, and whatever else I think of doing. So drop me a line.
Jeez, talk about all the pressure for the very first podcast.
Okay, don't look at me. I'll tune in. Do you want me to be ready to make snarky comments in your chat room? Is there a chat room?
We're going to be on Google Hangouts, so probably.
Okay, so I'll be prepared. I want you to feel at home.
All right, man.
I'll be the Murph of the group. Anyway, that brings
Speaking
us to the
of
end.
Which I miss Murph.
Yes, we just saw him last week. He was in the chat room.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I saw him in person. Before we leave, I want to congratulate him.
I got to go. I really got to go.
Okay, you go, and I will congratulate Murph and wrap up the show.
All right, bye, folks. We'll talk to you again in 10 days. Bye.
Yes. I want to congratulate Murph on passing his certification examination. He mentioned it to me when I saw him. And again, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there. You can check out some of their other family-friendly programming. They're also the people who have hooked us up with Dyne.com and hopefully many other individuals that we wish to hear from. Remember that the Tech Podcast Network is the home of shows such as my friends over at Category 5 Technology TV. I'm a big fan of theirs, and Jerry enjoyed when he saw their stuff. And let's see, what other shows? Geek News Central, which is run by their CEO, Todd Cochran. And that, again, brings us to the end of our program. Jerry has already left because Jerry has other things to do, and I'm trying to avoid doing other things, so I'm probably stalling. And I guess I have to go. So next week, we will be back in our normal studio instead of the somewhat ad hoc one, and on another special night, and after that, we will return to our normal format and time of week. Thank you for listening. Signing off.